Welcome to Brian's Spain Domain, and today we are going to talk about a current event. This week, NATO is celebrating its summit in Madrid, and what a year it is for the Defense Alliance to be convening in the capital of Spain. With the Russian invasion of Ukraine, Europe is suffering from its worst military crisis since the wars in the Balkans in the 1990s, its tensest moment since the Cold War, and probably the worst fighting since World War II. And there's no end in sight, and a worry it might even spread, though let's hope that doesn't happen. Now all eyes are on Madrid to see just how the leaders plan to handle this very delicate situation. The summit is going on as we speak for 2 days, on June 29th and June 30th. Traffic has been cut off in many places, workers have been told to stay at home and work remote, and helicopters are hovering over the city, keeping watch over everything. Now, some people are pretty excited about Spain's role in this summit. Obviously, it's a lot of protagonism for the country and especially the capital city of Madrid. But certainly, there are some who are less enthralled. Just last Sunday, some 5,000 protesters, or several thousand, I think it was five, marched through the streets demanding Spain's exit from NATO and the closing of the military bases. Now, if you recall your Spanish history, this shouldn't come as a surprise to you, because Spain has traditionally had a rocky relationship with its membership in NATO, as well as with ties with foreign military powers like the United States. Much of that opposition has traditionally come from the political left, but you'd be surprised to hear that elements of the right can also be very anti-American. Anyway, wanting to stay out of other countries' business has been a policy of this country for many years. I'd say the last 100 to 120 years, at least many years since it stopped becoming or stopped being an empire. Spain, for the most part of the 20th century, kept out of many major conflicts, sometimes for different reasons, but mainly because it had little to gain and a lot to lose. It was neutral in both World War I and World War II. Most of Spain's actions in foreign countries have been limited to colonial aspirations in North Africa, and the results have been mixed at best. In any event, under the Franco regime, especially during the first 10 or 15 years, Spain focused mainly on pulling itself together after the Spanish Civil War. I mean, the country was in tatters. But it soon became apparent to the dictator, Mr. Franco, that without some international recognition, life in Spain and for Spain was going to become mighty complicated. Thank God it found in countries like the United States a mutual hate for communist countries, and as a result, in 1950, the U.S. recognized the Franco government. Then in 1953, they reached an agreement that allowed for the construction of air bases and naval stations in exchange for all kinds of economic and military assistance. This sort of accord was known as the Pact of Madrid, and relations were further cemented by President Eisenhower's visit to Spain in 1959. The backing of the United States all but ensured the survival of the Franco government. The United States, and this would not be a first, decided to forego democratic principles in favor of strategic military assurances. The military stations included the Air Force bases of Torrejón, just outside of Madrid, and then there was another one in Zaragoza, to the east, another in Morón, just outside of Seville. The Morón Air Force Base has played an important role in many military operations over the last 30 years, and still houses American personnel. During the Gulf War in 1991, B-52s left from there for their bombing missions. When word got out in the Spanish press, the Spanish went berserk, and it was highly criticized by many in this country. Then there is a naval station in Rota, which is in the province of Cádiz in the south, in Andalusia, where there is a joint Spanish-U.S. force there to this day. Its strategic location makes it an almost obligatory port of call for ships entering and exiting the Mediterranean. The United States currently wants to increase its force there. Of all the bases, Torrejón, the one outside of Madrid, was symbolically the most controversial, as it represented American military presence practically in the capital of the country, and it also reminded many of the ties between America and the Franco regime, in many ways very close ties. For many years, the families, the American families who were stationed on the base, lived in the northern part of the city of Madrid in an area or a neighborhood called the Costa Fleming, and especially a building called the Edificio Correa, or the Korean Building. There were American stores there, American supermarkets, restaurants, American barber shops, churches which did services in English, and there were American nightclubs where the Spanish prostitutes were said to frequent and make the most of the rich American clientele there. My first years in Madrid just happened to be in that building, though by the late 80s and early 90s there were a few vestiges of that period, and I originally did not know of this origin, but it was true that I used to see different signs in English, and I was sort of surprised. I didn't quite understand until someone finally explained it to me. It was during the 1980s, in fact, that it became fashionable for protesters to walk the 14 kilometers that separate the capital from the airbase of Torrejón. The numbers ran into the thousands. In fact, by 1983, 15,000 people made that short journey. They would walk the distance and then go there and chant and demand that Spain leave NATO and that the Americans leave Spain in sort of classic Yankees go home fashion. But I'm getting a little ahead of myself here. Let's get back to the 1970s. Spain was opening up further to Europe, especially after Franco died. The transition from a fascist dictatorship into a democratic state had gone smoothly for the most part, if you ignore the coup d'etat in 1981. But in general, it went pretty smooth, and the country was taking an ever more active role on the international stage. That very same year, under the politically centered government of Leopoldo Calvo Sotelo, Spain requested entrance into the alliance. Now, NATO was more than delighted to accept the incorporation. It happened in record time. On May 30th, 1982, it joined NATO, and that was basically 40 years ago. But many Spaniards were skeptical of the decision and even openly opposed to it. One of the most vocal detractors was the Socialist Party, the PSOE, and its leader Felipe González. Their party slogan had always been no to joining NATO from the outset. Now, the problem was for González, when he became the next prime minister just a few months later, Spain was now a part of NATO. So he had to figure out how he was going to handle that situation. Now, instead of making a decision on his own, he put it to the people in a referendum, but in a way that suggested that deep down he didn't want Spain to leave. Basically, he asked if the citizens were all right with staying in NATO if, one, Spain was a non-military member with no military commitments, two, Spain refused to allow the United States to bring nuclear weapons into the country, and three, if Spain successfully ordered the American forces present in Spain to leave the country. The apparent shift in position angered many on the left, and it strengthened the far left position, the Communist Party. In any event, the referendum was held. By the way, the referendum wasn't legally binding, just merely a consultation, basically, that it was assumed the government would respect. And the pro-NATO side won. I think it was 56 to 44. It wasn't an overwhelming margin, but large enough. Four regions, the Basque Country, Catalonia, Navarra, and the Canary Islands voted against it. But it went through all the same. So Spain stayed in NATO, albeit in sort of a decaffeinated way for a few years there. The United States, which was beginning to cut back on its military spending abroad, especially with the fall of the Soviet Union, agreed to hand over Torrejón and Zaragoza and reduced significantly its presence in Morón and Rota. When the Conservative Party won for the first time in 1996, the new government, decided to ignore the will of the people and pledged a military commitment to NATO. By 1999, Spain was a full member in all senses. Over the past three decades, Spain has decided to play a role in numerous conflicts around the globe, mostly as a peacekeeping force. It has participated in 22 operations with the Alliance and others with the United Nations, involving more than 125,000 troops. 119 have lost their lives over the years. On occasion, Spain's desire to support America's plans, for example, has gotten it into trouble, like the time when Prime Minister Aznar backed Bush and Tony Blair in their campaign to invade Iraq. The result was one of the worst terrorist attacks in Europe when bombs went off on commuter trains on March 11, 2004. Nearly 200 people died. The government lost the elections 3 days later as a result, and the socialist government pulled the Spanish troops from Iraq a month later, making Spain's relationship with the United States quite tense for a number of years. But Spain has continued its commitment to international missions as well as to NATO, and hosting the summit is clear proof of that. For the most part, membership in the alliance hasn't posed a threat to its security, nor has it entailed getting involved in a major conflict. The situation in Ukraine, however, and the increased tension with Russia is basically putting everything to the test. For the moment, though, things are pretty much under control, and I know it's a sort of an unusual way to put it. Let's just hope it stays that way. And that'll be all for today. We hope you've enjoyed this podcast by Brian Spain Domain. Please feel free to leave us any comments because we love the feedback. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, and Castos. Or if you wish to support Brian Spain Domain, click on our PayPal donate button. Or if you want to have access to absolutely all of our podcasts, you can check us out on Patreon at the link provided below. Stay well, stay safe, and hasta pronto.